Good morning, everybody. So as we sort of mentioned last week, and as we mentioned in our kōrero last week, at the beginning of the month, that this month we were going to be sharing about the core values of Cornerstone Christian Church. With so many new folk coming to church, which is wonderful, to know who we are and what we're about is really important, that we have a shared understanding. We have had the core values for many years. I think ever since Guy and I have been involved in leadership, these have been our core values. We've also been looking at our vision and our mission statement, and we hope to have those ticked off and signed off, and we'll share those with you in the coming weeks as well. But these core values of loving grace, growing, reaching, being authentic, community and creative, empowering and equipping. And these are all covered and undergirded and surrounded in love, hence the loving grace. So what we want to do over the next couple of weeks is to kind of go through these and share our thoughts and our vision and our ideas and our understanding of what it means to be have each of those values. And the first one that we're going to be doing this morning is growing. And we're going to do a bit of a tag team. We wanted to kind of share this together because we're both quite different, obviously. And so we have different thoughts and understandings and different ways of expressing what it means for us to be a growing, to have growing as part of our core values. So I'm going to start off with that our goal is to be like Jesus. Okay. Romans 8 this morning, verse 29. Okay, it says up here, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And I also like the way it's written in the Message translation. God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his son. So in God's sovereignty, intention and designs for believers, who are us, who are all who believe in Jesus, is that we would be transformed into the likeness of Christ. So Jesus is and was and is our model. He is the prototype. He is the ideal. He is the one that we look to become like. And we're doing this as part of a larger family. It's not just us here in Cornerstone. As I said, it's the entire church around the world. We're like a large family being shaped into his likeness. Now, coming to faith, beginning the relationship that we have with God, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the journey begins the formation to become like Jesus. But the thing is that our whole lives we are being formed. We have been formed. So coming to become like Jesus may require that we have to unlearn some of the ways that we have been taught or that we have caught from being around others, from our family of origin. Not all of it is bad. A lot of it is good, but there will be some things that need to be changed. They will be, some of them could be superficial. Others will be behaviors and thought patterns and understanding. And they can be really deeply ingrained and set within us. So learning to live the way of Jesus, of the kingdom of God, and our thoughts and our words and our actions, for some of us, for most of us, will be a lifelong journey. And it's not always easy, but it is worth it, especially as we discover how amazing God is and all that Jesus has done for us. And the power and the wisdom and the necessity of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, while spiritual growth absolutely happens as we partner with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit working within us and with us, responsibility also lies upon each one of us. And that's personal and it's corporate. Personal responsibility. Yeah, we are responsible for our relationship with God. And Guy is going to speak shortly about how we can step into that, how we can grow into it. But there's also a corporate responsibility, because we are called to encourage and to champion one another. Doctors Cloud and Townsend, I don't know if you've heard of them, they wrote the book Boundaries, Boundaries with Children, Boundaries in Marriage. They're really good books. They write in their book How People Grow, speaking about growing in faith within community, is like this. Relationship with others is part of the created order. Independence from relationship is independence from God himself, for he, God, is present in his body. And it highlights then what is written in Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. Sorry. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, which is us, and all of those who call on the name of Jesus, are joined and held together by every supporting ligament. They grow and build itself up in love as each part does its work. So the body together as a whole, with Christ as the head, plays a role in our spiritual growth. And this happens as we extend grace and forgiveness to one another, as we support and strengthen and champion one another, lovingly being accountable to each other. As a community, we encourage growth in each other when we pray for one another. You know, we have the prayer jar. When we have corporate prayer like we do on a Sunday morning, when we support one another in the hard times that we all face, we rally around with friendship, we rally around with prayer, with meals, and we draw people in. We include others. We don't hold people out, but we draw people in. We want to be inclusive. And this happens in formal settings, in life groups, and focus groups, and prayer groups during the week, on Sunday morning, in our gatherings, as well as in the informal settings over cups of coffees, as we listen, as we share our faith journeys and life experiences, praying for one another, following up with each other. And as we work on tasks or projects together, it happens over meals, it happens through friendships. And as a church, we want to be people who champion one another in our walk with Jesus, seeking the best for each other, actually seeing one another, acknowledging one another's presence in the room, caring for one another, encouraging and spurring one another on in faith and good works, so that we will all know God more deeply and that we would all live our lives rooted and established in love. We value spiritual growth, and we deeply value corporate spiritual growth. We know, though, that doing life together can be challenging, and we're all so unique and we all have our different backgrounds, and the challenges and the struggles that each of us might face might be difficult for others to understand. However, as we take the time to listen, as we take the time to try to understand, with the even ground being Jesus, we can all learn from each other and through each other, which will bring a richness and a depth to our faith, to our relationship with one another and with others. But doing life together can be wonderful, knowing that we're not alone, that at times we're not crazy, and the joy and the privilege of growing together can be so wonderfully rewarding. There is so much for us to learn and experience in God. There's so much to learn. And while we may have read the Bible many times, while we may know the truth, it may be so firmly ingrained within us, there is always more for us to learn. There's always more for us to know as we gain deeper understanding and wisdom in the scriptures. And of course, we have the many opportunities for us to live them out. And I love how the Apostle Peter, in his second letter to the churches in Asia Minor, he writes this. He says, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to your goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, mutual affection. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measures, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and spiritually blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. So there's always more that we can add. There's a greater measure that we can add to our knowledge and to our understanding. We can always continue to grow. And so Peter goes on to say, so I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and they are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body. So if it's good for Peter to say that he's going to continue to remind his people, the people that he's writing to, the churches that he is writing to, then it's good for us. So we will, as a church, as a community of faith, endeavor to keep reminding and refreshing ourselves as the people of God of the majesty and of the power of God and the simple yet profound teachings of Jesus, empowered by the power of the Spirit, and continue to encourage each other to grow in our faith and to strengthen our faith. Together, we will work at keeping our focus on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. We'll keep ourselves focused on the good news of Jesus Christ, on his teachings, and we will encourage one another to be obedient to the word, and to each other to be faithful to Jesus, so that we may grow up to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, and that is Christ. So growing for us, the value of growing as a community is so important. And Guy's going to come now and he's going to share on the how of growing.
To do the how, I might need the clicker. Thank you. So, how? Well, I'll give you, as Kate said, a perspective from my point of view of a way in which this takes place. I want to start off by talking about celebration of discipline. It's a bit of a hard sell, isn't it, coming in at this point? To talk about celebrating discipline. Discipline's one of those words, isn't it? But at the time that Kate and I were preparing to be ordained as pastors, we were given some recommended reading by the Assemblies of God, and amongst which was this book by Richard Foster. And it's a wonderful book, one I'd highly recommend. In fact, we must have recommended it to someone because I looked around on our shelves at home and couldn't find it, so we may have lent it out to someone. So if anyone's out there got it, could you please... No. Celebrating discipline, the two words don't seem to go together. I mean, if I was to hold a party and invited you guys along and said, look, we're going to celebrate discipline together, guys, why don't you come along? I wonder how many people would turn up. And then I wonder then, later on, about 2 weeks later, you know how it is with party balloons, 2 weeks after the event, you know, they're kind of skulking around in the corner of the lounge because you haven't quite got round, you haven't had the discipline to tidy them up yet. And the word discipline, which each letter is on each balloon, has now sort of taken on a more of a prune-like look to it. It's just discipline. It's kind of, it's almost deflating, but it's really necessary for our growth in Christ. So that's what I want to talk about, the role of discipline in our lives. And as disciples, this shouldn't come as too much of a foreign concept, because the two words, disciple and discipline, actually have the same Latin root word, which is discipulus. So I could say, I am Gaius and I am a disciplus of Jesus, if I was in the ancient world. Anyway, never mind. So disciple and discipline have the same root word, discipulus. And this word actually means to be a student or learner. So if we are disciples of Jesus, we're really saying that we are adopting a lifestyle of learning. That was a phrase that came through to Kate and myself during our preparation to step into being pastors. And it has been an ongoing thing for us as pastors, and I believe for all of us as believers and followers of Jesus, that we want to have a lifestyle of learning. And of course, Jesus is our teacher. He's our master. He's the rabbi. He's the one whom we model our lives on. The things that he said and the ways that he lived are what we're aiming for here. And we can see those things as the way of growth can be seen as spiritual disciplines. Now, if that's a foreign concept to you, I've listed some of the ways, the disciplines that these are core practices of Jesus himself. So these are ways in which they've been identified by particularly practicing the way, which is a source of material that we've been leaning into, particularly in our men's group over the last few months. And in it, they've identified things that are familiar to us, which are prayer and scripture and perhaps keeping Sabbath, fasting. There's also things like silence and solitude, things like simplicity, which you may not have thought of, community, hospitality and generosity. These are not exhaustive core practices, but they are ones that you can identify in Jesus' own life and ones which, if we're going to learn from him, we can also incorporate into our lives as spiritual practices. They're really invitations towards a disciplined kind of way of living. And those disciplines can act as a kind of trellis work on which our growth can take place. So in the ancient world, and even today, if you're a vintner, you would need some sort of structure to grow the vine on. So the spiritual disciplines, they're not what actually causes the growth, because that's the work of the Spirit, as Kate has said, and Jesus and God. But they give us a structure on which to support our growth. They lift us off the ground a little bit, help to protect us perhaps from things, disease even, or whatever that may be, that may threaten our growth. But there, it's a support to us growing. So if you can see disciplines as that, then it becomes far more of a positive word, I think. They're things that we can adopt into our lives, rhythms and patterns which help to grow us. In fact, habits are very important. We all have them. If you were to think about your daily habits and your weekly habits, things that you regularly do, these are the things that act as a kind of trellis in our lives already. What we're saying here is that we can adopt these particular habits, and that over a period of time, by doing them, they will in some way or form help to transform our lives as we seek to follow Jesus. Because habits really are part of our formation. Kate's already spoken about this. We are already in the habit of doing things, and they have already formed us in certain ways. This is really an intentional choice on our part to adapt certain habits that will help us grow in a certain way. Jesus gives us a wonderful metaphor. It's given to us in John 15 and verses 1 to 17, and it's the illustration of the vine, and he likens God to a vine dresser. He's the gardener that comes along and attends to the vine, and then Jesus refers to himself as being the vine, and then that we are actually the branches. So we are connected into him. He is the source of our life, but God is the one that comes along and he attends to the vine, It talks about pruning and other things that he does in order to perhaps open us up to being more fruitful, because the whole goal of the relationship is to produce the fruit of love in our lives. That is the relational dynamic of being in the vine and knowing God through Jesus Christ, his Son. And the fruit that he's looking for, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, is are these things. They are love, they're joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the kinds of things that we want to see on the vine. I'll go back a bit. I might just park it up there. So this is an invitation, really, for all of us as individuals and then corporately, and you're going to be hearing a lot more going forward about the discipline's role in our lives to help as a support towards spiritual growth. I've been a little bit waylaid with illness lately, and I'd hope to get a little further in this project, but there's going to be an installation in Pearing in the foyer area over the next week or two, and it's going to be a display which will remind us of what these disciplines are, and it's our hope that we would, having made the invitation to us all, that we would in some way lean into them. Now, of course, prayer and reading your Bible and so forth, but some of these other ones that you may not have thought about before, which are very helpful if we want to be like Jesus. And so that will be in the foyer, and there'll be, along with that, the fruits of the Spirit will be incorporated in there so that we can identify the kinds of ways in which we are being fruitful in our relationship with God. Okay.
And as it says up on that last screen, our growth, and that's personal and that's corporate together, is intended to reflect a lived reality of God's presence in our lives. The Bible talks about, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Hence that loving growth happens. As we love God, as we love one another, as we grow together, then we reflect the lived reality of God's presence in our lives, and that draws others, not necessarily to us, well, it does initially, but ultimately it draws people to God. And the growth within us, again, is something that we want to champion, we want to see happen with ourselves and amongst ourselves. We want to create opportunities for growth along the way. And it's such a privilege to, as I said, a privilege to journey alongside and have others journeying alongside us in our times. And I know that, and I imagine that you know what that's like. You've experienced that yourself, and you've experienced journeying with others and delighted in the growth of others. If, however, you kind of feel like, what on earth have they been talking about? I don't know what it is to have a relationship with God or with Jesus. I don't know what it means to grow in God. Then we would love to have a conversation with you to talk that through. What does it mean? What does it look like? It would be our absolute privilege. But we end today with the first of our core values. And may I encourage you, as you go and spend time around a cup of tea and around a cup of coffee, that you would spend some time encouraging and listening with one another, and celebrating the goodness of God in our lives. Before we welcome the children back in, may I pray a blessing upon us all. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. Amen.